Good afternoon, and welcome back to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan. That drumming you heard in the background would be...
I'm Bill Cundiff, drummer extraordinaire. Our sponsor this hour is Team Power. They're our local Kubota tractor dealer. And you can get them up there in Shasta Lake City, right off Twin View Boulevard, 3119 Twin View Boulevard, just south of Phil's Propeller. Phone number is 226-9226. Go in there and see them right now for service specials. They got a fully equipped shop, lots of mechanics ready to work on your stuff. So
get in there. Start drinking.
Go in there and see them. Yeah, put that beer down. Holy cow. I guess it's 5 o'clock somewhere, but man. And you can reach them on the web at readingtractors.com.
What a great website.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so, you know, well.
Hang on, fell out of my chair there.
Sounds of a struggle.
Yeah.
Courtesy of Bill. Oh, man. All right, so all the best laid plans of mice and men always go awry, it seems. So I believe we have both of our guests on the telephone, which means that we may have some strangulation when it comes to trying to talk over everybody. Anyway, we'll keep working on the Skype connection. But today is a big topic. Obviously, extremely current. Today is January 20th. If you're listening to an archive of this, the show first aired January 20th, 2019. And we called it Comprehensive Border Layered Security Solution because that's what Chuck Floyd and Bruce Moran have called the plan that they've outlined for national security. They work on this stuff all the time. And the Comprehensive Border Layered Solution document actually is on our website at wethepeopleradio.us. And I hope you will go there and pull it up. I do have it on the webpage for today, but I don't know, due to issues with the website program that I've been screwing with all week, it won't put the graphics up. So pull the document up because there are some great graphics on there, and it shows you it's not just a wall. You know, you hear these idiots all the time talking about how we don't want a wall. Well, look at this. Look at the what a comprehensive border solution looks like. It's amazing and super, super impressive. So these guys are both with Security Solutions Technologies. Chuck Floyd is the chief executive officer and senior executive with an MBA and a master's degree in logistics with over 25 years, probably more now because I've had this on here for a few years, experience driving strategy, business development, market penetration, regulatory compliance, acquisitions, program management, and joint ventures with industry and U.S. Departments of State, Defense, Homeland Security, Health and Human Services, Justice, Veterans Affairs, and the U.S. Congress. So we listen to all these knuckleheads on, I don't know, I mean, if you have to torture yourself like I do periodically and watch CNN or something, and you listen to these guys spout off about border security, it'll be fun today. You'll get to hear from people who actually know what they're talking about. Bruce Moran is the National Security Advisor who focuses on strategic planning for national security issues. As a consultant, he works with public officials, U.S. government committees, departments, agencies, think tanks, and corporations. He works on special national security projects and defines clear hands-on working solutions for crisis preparedness and crisis readiness scenarios, which would totally fit today's topic when we're talking about the border. So all those people who will tell you that we are not having an issue and that there's really nothing going on down there, I do believe you'll change your mind by the end of the program. So, fellers, I don't know who wants to start, but go ahead.
This is Chuck. So can everybody hear me okay?
Yep, you're all good.
Good. Well, first off, before we start talking about the border security plan, which is very detailed and with something that the Congress and others should really do. We've been talking about this for many, many years. I'd like to just first off talk about the government shutdown and congressional pay. I wrote an article to a local D.C. newspaper saying that when members of Congress do not do the one job they're elected and supposed to do, which is to fund the government and protect America, they should not receive their paychecks. They are not taking the responsibility for their actions. And also, I think that as each day that the government is shut down, members of Congress should be fined $1,000 a day. If businesses worked on, you know, the way Congress does, they'd be out of business in 2 days. So
Exactly.
You know, when will politicians take responsibility for the actions? And in this case, they're non-actions. It's about time that members of Congress be accountable to the American taxpayer and do what is best for them, for the American taxpayer, not themselves or the party. You know, President Trump went on national TV, gave a good presentation. Yesterday, he offered a great deal to the Democrats, which they turned down before they even knew what it was. And if you really look, and if the American taxpayer really understood the true issue, they would be outraged. Right now, we spend over $200 billion a year on illegal immigration. Let me repeat that. $200 billion a year on illegal immigration. $30 billion for a border security plan. You know, the return on investment, the ROI, is 1.5 months. So what are they complaining about? You know, the issue with the Democrats is that they don't want border security. They want to keep flooding the United States with the illegal invaders that I call them, because we have 24 plus million invaders in our country now that are illegal. And you look at how the Democrats have turned California and other states only due to illegal immigration, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's incredibly frustrating for people to watch this, because it keeps going around and around, and it has for years, absolutely for years. And I think everyone knows that if the president backs down on border security and doesn't, you know, just agrees to, oh, let's go ahead and get the government, you know, the federal government shut down, let's get that stopped, and we'll work on the border later, we've done, I don't even know, do you guys actually know how many times that has happened?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Lucy happened. And Charlie Brown with the football.
Yeah, it's happened every time since Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan said, oh, I believe my Democratic colleagues, I'm going to go in and give them amnesty, 3 million people amnesty. Guess what? It was Senator Kennedy and his group's plan to have illegal immigrants come into this country, never stop them, because they saw the advantage of voting and how to keep their power. That's very, very simple.
Well, and I think also this is probably as far as they've ever pushed it down the road as far as getting it done since I can remember. And to back off now, I don't think we'll ever have another opportunity like this to get something actionable done.
Well, to have somebody in the White House who's willing to just take all this incoming flack. You know.
You're absolutely correct. I wrote the same or very similar border security plan for President Bush way back in 2004. If you remember all of the radio shows and everything else we did in Washington, D.C., but on this issue, I was part of the Minuteman Project, where we went to the border. We looked at who was doing what. We called CBP. They would come, look at them, go, hey, we don't care. I mean, it was just atrocious. And so, you know, we've been on this issue for a long, long time, and I totally agree with your comment that this is the first president that really and seriously wants to do something about illegal immigration, about putting up a good layered security barrier so they cannot get in, because once they set a foot into the U.S., they're gone. It's catch and release. You look at, you know, we can only hold them so many days. We only have a certain number of facilities. And so we'll get into that a little bit later when we talk about the president's speech and what he has offered and the millions, hundreds of millions and billions of dollars that he wants to use at different places. But right now, this total disagreement on the government shutdown and the border and the wall is only about one thing. It's about 2020 election. The Democrats want to damage President Trump. They want to deny him any funding for his number one issue to the American people, and they're going to use this for the next 2 years.
See, and with your figure of $200 billion a year in cost to the taxpayer, with, you know, you have on your list here for us, our little cheat sheet says schools, hospitals, courts, jails, American lives, and then we've got sanctuary cities, and we're broadcasting from California, so obviously, you know, we're at the hub of the problem. That's a really big number, and the biggest thing, one of the things shouldn't say the biggest because it changes by the minute, but one of the things that you hear all the time is that $5.7 billion is way too much money. It's, oh, that's this huge price tag and it's a total waste. And I think in light of $200 billion that it's costing all of our states and all, as a comprehensive number, I think $5.7 billion is pretty small. We're going to come right back with our guests, Bruce Moran and Chuck Floyd. Actually, you've only heard from Chuck. Bruce, we got Bruce in a box in there. But we'll hear back from both of them. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
It's our time to take a stand. Remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
There's a call across this land. Remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
We were a city.
We're back. All right, Chuck, Bruce, who wants to take on the next little piece about the layered border security so we can, crush this little wall thing that everybody's worried about?
It's more important to see what a layered security system incorporates. I'll take on the thermal aspect of it because we're always concerned about people coming through, and the thermal detectors go up to a mile. They have like a strobe flashlight on top of 12 million candle power, and it can disorient people just in and of itself and identify them. It can be used for moving or stationary objects. It can sense. So this is the stuff that the Navy SEALs use. It can be put on top of a tower, and the tower is used in conjunction with the wall. And then you can have sensors on the ground, and they can sense where people are at. You can differentiate between a human being and an animal, and you can tell if they're moving or stationary. So you have what we would call technical redundancy, and each system backs each other up, and then they could have a command and control center where they're picking all this up. Then they can send out a drone to look at it and see what's actually there, too. So you have three areas where you're triangulating what's going on, of things happening outside your border. And this is the way the military does it. There's no reason why the border security people can't do that. The president's asking for 2,750 more. That's a start, you know, and that'll keep the system, you know, at its minimum and then maximum level at those points it's being instituted. And Chuck can weigh in on that.
Uh-oh. Did we lose Chuck?
Oh, we're getting the keep talking. I think they're struggling with the Skype thing. Well, okay. Bruce, we're looking
so
at...
We're looking at... I'm just talking about two things there. We're not even talking about the fence itself or a double fence or the different kinds of applications you can use throughout the border. Now, you have anti-drone devices. The drug cartels are sending meth over in drones. We can stop that. We have the anti-drone systems. They actually detect it and send it back to the source. Then you know where it's coming from, and then you can authorize security, and they can notify the Mexican federales where it's coming from and go get those people. So what we're looking at is a complete secure border, not anything any different than what we would use in Afghanistan, and the kind of support services that would be there is the kind that the president had outlined. You use dogs, Dogs are better than, in some ways, in some of the tech equipment because they can go in there and they know what they're doing. They can smell, you know, and identify smaller things. The machines work fine, but the dogs work better. Border security people will, you know, confirm that. We work with them for, it's going on 16, 17 years, and they know exactly what's going on in real time, what's going down, and how to handle it. The information where I'm giving you is basically what we've been doing for, you know, 16 years and what Border Security has been saying they needed. So what we're looking at is a Congress that has not fulfilled the needs of the Border Security team and previous presidents. Along with that, we got to take into account, too, that the border itself is porous in spots, and the cartels are taking advantage of that and are able to come in because they're testing us. As we're testing them and watching them, they're testing us. They'll send groups here, groups there. They'll see how we respond. They might send a group of part of a caravan of 200 people. We'll go attend to that. Then they'll sneak the drugs to another spot while we're attending to that because we know we got to use resources. When our resources are limited on the border, then border security got to attend to the immediate things that are going on. Then you got to send those people to a detention center. Then you got to have them processed. So what the Democrats were talking about is more judicial. Judges on the border, we're talking about that too. We're also talking about more facilities, more ability for the drug cartels to get checked, you know, and that's what we're looking at also. There's a whole slew of matters that need to be addressed. It's the smuggling of arms, it's smuggling of people, underage, the children. We also have we got to stop the human rights violations that are going on, so Mexico has to get involved. The Mexico people, you know, the Mexican people should be complaining about it as much as we are.
Well, the numbers on here are staggering, and this is the stuff that you never hear, and I really do hope people will go to the site. It's wethepeopleradio.us. You're looking for the program on January 20th, 2019. And in the document you guys have provided here, in 2018, 17,000 adults arrested at the border with existing criminal records. In 2017, 3,755 known or suspected terrorists prevented from entering the U.S., and $2.5 billion made annually by human smuggling. I mean, those are big numbers.
Yep, and we don't know what else is going on. That's what's known. See what it says? 3,755 known or suspected terrorists prevented from entering.
Yeah.
How about the areas where they're coming to and we don't know?
Oh, well, yeah, and these are only the numbers we know.
Yeah, so I would probably add a couple thousand on there because they're coming in from all different areas at all different times. And once you have the border locked down, like I was just talking about the simple things of the thermal radiation with the drones, with the, you know, sensors on the ground, they're not coming through at all. They're not digging any tunnels. All those tunnels you're hearing about that keeps the borders, you know, vulnerable, those all go away. They vanish into thin air because the sensors will pick them up digging. The sensors will pick them up moving. The sensors will pick them up in a stationary position. The light will flash on them. So it becomes a disorientation factor. Once you get closer to the border, the drone goes up. You watch them, what they're doing. And then the people come out from their stations where the Border Patrol is on the border, not away from the border. They'll go immediately to address the issue. They won't get anywhere near close to the border. And that's the problem. And Chuck and I worked with Senator Frisk back in 2006, and that's what Chuck was talking about. The Secure Fence Act was passed in 2006, so you had to think of us working. I think Chuck said he's working at 2004, 2005 to draw up the plans, and then it went into the Secure Fence Act, and then there was Rep. King who worked out of New York to get it done on their side of the aisle. So you had Peter King out of New York and then Senator Bill Frist. But the actual technology and top to bottom mechanics of doing the tactical operations, that was done on Chuck's side. You know, that was done on the Senate side with Bill Workman, Sherry Harder, and a few other people. I'm sorry, you know, if we don't mention everybody, there's a group of about 15 of us. So.
Well, there have been people working on this for years, and every time, you know, we get anywhere, even close to making some headway, like, I mean, this has really come to a stalemate.
Chuck gets very, very, very frustrated. And once we saw President Trump use it as part of his platform to run for office, we said, oh, my God, I can't believe this. I mean, we are saying this to ourselves. I said, what's going on here? I mean, nobody ever would want to do it in that fashion and say we're going to get a border protected and locked out. We knew the cartels for the last 20, 30 years. Now they're making billions of dollars, you know, and now if you look at it over a 20-year period, it's trillions of dollars. That's going into the cities. That's going into the villages and towns all throughout the United States. That's where the drug cartels have infiltrated and selling their drugs. And that's the other part that President Trump is emphasizing, is that the cartels, and there's six major ones that are, you know, controlling the borders. They fight over the borders so they can get the drugs across. They're fighting all the time for territory to get on, you know, where Brownsville is and McAllen and, you know, over by San Diego, the Sinaloa cartel. It's the world's largest transnational narco cartel. And we're, see, I'm talking, my voice goes up here. Sorry. Yeah. I get a little emotional about it because I'm frustrated that when we see these actions taking place, you know, with the voting, the shutdown, we think it's unnecessary. We think it's uncalled for. And to be serious about it, they're not doing their jobs, and they should be called on a rug for it. But there's nothing written in the Constitution that says, you know, you have to do and fulfill your duties in a way that's written in the Constitution, that, or there'll be some types of consequence. It has to be, something has to be done here so they can't do these things. And Chuck was suggesting no pay. That's one way to go. But then you might have other, you know, relationships that exist that people are doing it because special interests don't want it. It's not what the American people don't want. It's special interests want. And there's a whole different understanding here of how these things are transpiring. But I'll leave the floor to Chuck now.
Okay. Let's take a really quick break so we don't have to cut you off mid-sentence when we come back.
Sure. Okay.
Chuck, you fire away. Hey, so I found this song in my stash, and I thought, well, hey, maybe this is one way to go for a little extra border security in the absence of really good technology. We'll be right back.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire.
So, fellas, just in case you want to have a musical torture device added to the border security, I was thinking that song might work. With the flashing lights, you could blast that. And, I mean, that would make me turn around and go back, actually.
Well, yeah, you know, we do have technology on beams of sound that we use for controlling crowds that would work on the border, but they don't want to use that. But you know, a couple of items I'd like to talk about is that if you look at interviews of people in these caravans that are coming to the U.S., which are thousands and thousands of people, the illegals tell the reporters, I'm not worried about getting over into the U.S. I have family in the U.S. Now, so they know that they're gonna get across the border. They get one foot into the U.S. according to the Democrat rules. 20 days or so, you're in detention, and then you're catch and release, and then you go wherever you're going to go.
And I think, Chuck, that a lot of folks thought the whole catch and release thing was over, but it's really not. I mean, all they have to do is come over and say they're under 18 or they're a family, then they get the card and they get released into our community. And that, to me, seems like if that were to change, it would be a big deterrent for these folks. You get caught, you get sent right back, regardless of who you are and what your age is.
Yeah, you know, you look about, you know, last month, there were, I think, between 200 to 300 illegals that were taken by bus to El Paso's bus station and released by CBP.
Right.
Why did they do that? Why didn't they take them into Mexico and release them? You know?
Yeah, why didn't they?
I don't know. I mean, I wrote an email to the White House, so what the heck is going on here? Take them to Mexico and put them back across the border. You've recorded them. You now know who they are. And so, as President Bush, from President Bush and on, and then just President Trump yesterday said that there are 900,000 cases in the court system where they've told people, you got to come back, and we don't have enough lawyers to process them. If you get caught and we don't immediately return you, 3 days, you should have your hearing and you're out of here. And so one other, you know, a couple other things that the liberals don't want to talk about is if you go down to the Goldwater Air Force Range with all those beautiful cactus all along the border, the drug agents, the criminals are driving vehicles and they're destroying the environment there every day. And so you look all across the border, you have places where we call, you know, they have rape trees and all the other areas where they come in and they dump their clothes and water bottles and all the other stuff. It's an environmental hazard across the border. The Republicans talk about it. The Democrats don't want to talk about it because they don't want people to know that there's also an environmental issue to our national treasures along the border, in addition to what's happening with the people that are getting raped, the children and women, they're being abused. I mean, it's just atrocious. And so President Trump is absolutely correct that there is a humanitarian crisis on our border.
And Chuck, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, we can't build 2,000 miles of wall. How much do we really need to really make a significant impact? I know there's areas that are natural borders, but how much would we have to build to really start making a significant impact realistically?
The plan I wrote, where we divide the border into 50-mile increments and have different contractors do each 50 miles, you could secure the entire border within 2 years. And so there are multitude of different solutions. One is a HESCO product that the military uses overseas for all their combat operations. This, you can put up a mile in of this kind of barrier within 2 hours. And so there's lots of solutions out there. And so along the Rio Grande, you would need the HESCO design because you don't want to destroy the environment along the Rio Grande. There are other areas that you need a concrete wall, that you need a steel wall, and there's other areas that you don't need a wall at all because of the natural barriers. The only thing you need are drones, UAVs, sensors, cameras, all those sort of things. Now, one of the things that I am very curious about is that in the military, I was on what we call the MFO, the Multinational Force and Observers, peacekeeping force in the Sinai Desert. And so we had a tremendous area that we and the Egyptians and the Israelis, we had different stations along the border, and we were all along the border, and we just observed. We did not have any physical or any kind of military action against the people that were moving back and forth. We observed what was going on. And so we
recorded. Oh, Chuck, can you tell them where that's located?
Yeah, it's in the Sinai Desert between Egypt and Israel. And so we were on that. I was on that. We've been on that. We had a U.S. battalion there for probably 15 years. Now the Egyptians monitored along with the U.S., and we had 11 different nations there doing this border control and observation. We need to put the same thing along the Mexico-U.S. border and have the Mexican military and the U.S. military involved and put the military on the border. CBP cannot handle it. They're outgunned.
Oh, I think we lost Chuck.
Yeah, what are you saying? That our we call it CBP. It's Customs Border Patrol. There's not enough of them, and when the cartels come through, They're carrying the high-end automatic, you know, AK-47s and stuff like that. So what we're looking at is a part of the border could be used in conjunction with, because right now, as you look at certain parts of the border where Mexico is, they don't have, like, McKellen there. The president was over there. On the other side, the police were basically wiped out by the cartel. So the Mexican military is running, you know, the security for the region on the other side of the border there. So those are kind of things you look at. And what we're talking about here is the high-end areas where the cartels can sneak through. And then you can put the Mexican military there and with the U.S. military and do joint operations. So that's what he's talking about in the Sinai Desert there. That's where Egypt is, and they were digging all those tunnels. Remember that?
Right, right.
And the Egyptians dug all those tunnels, and they're sneaking into Israel and, you know, killing people and all kinds of things. Well, the same thing was happening in Israel. That's where they had to lock it down, where Chuck was working. The same thing we have going on over here. If you heard the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, he said, yeah, get that border down, because he knew that Chuck worked on it, and we're trying to institute a similar kind of program. It's not going to be exactly the same, but, you know, you got to tailor it to, you know, how your current border situation is. But, you know, part and parcel to it's going to be run the same way if you have the military operations there on both sides of the border. Cartels aren't going to go against that. Simply not. It's a no-go situation.
No, they're gonna look for an easier path. One of the questions a lot of folks are actually the statements that's being made is walls don't work. But in your report here, you state that San Diego built a wall in 1992, and the border crossings have dropped 92%.
Let me interrupt you really for a second.
Sure, go ahead.
That was given to us from the White House. That's the White House response.
Okay.
Ah.
All right.
This is your information, and that was given to us by DH Secretary Kirsten. So, mm-hmm.
You know, walls do work. You know, Duncan Hunter built that wall out of metal from Vietnam in San Diego. Once they did, a lot of the immigration stopped. But you have to get a more complex and layered security these days versus back then.
Mm-hmm. Well, where they have placed walls, they list El Paso, Tucson, Yuma. The crossings dramatically reduced over time because they go for the easier areas. So I don't see where they get off saying walls don't work. Walls do work. But
well, it's more than just the wall, remember. We're talking about HESCO.
Right.
HESCO is a barrier. And the military Corps of Engineers, we encourage people to go to the HESCO site and look how easy it is to put up. It's amazingly easy. And they could put up, what did you say, Chuck, a mile within a day?
Several hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing barrier. For people who are wondering what the heck we're talking about, you can actually see a picture of it. I'm sure you could probably Google it. It's HESCO.
Exactly.
But it's also part of this document that we have linked at wethepeopleradio.us.
We use it in Afghanistan to protect our guys in the mountains.
Right. That's and what it says. It's a military uses in combat areas, so it makes perfect sense.
Well, if they open up a base, that automatically goes down, and, you know, it's done.
Yeah, and so, also vehicle barriers, which we need. We have to have vehicle barriers along with the other wall barriers for people. You look at just this past week where by 200 to 300 illegals dug under one of the structures they have already. They couldn't do this with the HESCO because you have big blocks of rock and dirt behind the wall. And so they're going to have to dig like 100 feet just to get through. So it's in, you know, if they use the plans that we have given them, and if they use an MFO, a multi-force observer concept along the entire border of observation with the military from both Mexico and the U.S. doing the observation, this will work, and this is a solution that nobody's talked about.
Yeah, and I read somewhere in this information where that $5 billion will be made up in a couple of months just in savings from less drug seizures, less crossings. I mean, that money is, I think that's very well spent to get that kind of a return.
Well, much more happens once they're across the border than we have to provide them
exactly.
with food stamps and places to stay, and sometimes they get flown to an area on taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
So those are things that aren't always added into the, the sums we're talking about, because they need to be addressed, and the costs are actually higher per person once they come in, and then they get government aid. I think government aid goes anywhere between $25,000 to, if you have a family, it has to go up to $35,000-$40,000.
Yeah, see, and so while they're all braying about how $5.7 billion for a wall, that's just crazy money, everything about this makes it not crazy money. We've got to take another quick break. We'll be back.
Well, I'd like to add something when we come back.
I don't know. Okay, we'll let you. He's all click. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back with Bruce Moran.
Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. If you can't swim the tide, don't try to deny living on the other side. Don't cross the river if you can't swim the tide. Don't try to deny living on the other side. Don't cross the river if you can't swim.
Can never get tired of that one when we talk about border security. All right, Bruce, without further ado.
What we were talking about was the ability to save monies.
Yes.
Now, as we're talking about closing the border down, the monies that will be saved there could also go, as you look at the inner city schools, local law enforcement, that would be able to bolster what we need. With President Trump was saying law and order across the border in the United States. Now that you have one segment and a major segment locked down security-wise, now you can concentrate on the rest of the United States to stop the drug trafficking, to stop the child pornography and the selling of sex with kids. All this stuff can be stopped. You can support the schools, inner-city schools, help the kids on the border, make sure the people on the border now know that they're going to be safe and sound. These are things that are common sense and practical, yet have not been talked about because of the political volume that's been turned up. And I call it media mesh for the border. The border is actually a sound and practical program, and it's been endorsed by the border security people. So what's going on here? If you, I would ask them to have a debate between the people who don't want the border the way it is, and that would be, those senators on that side of the aisle versus the Border Patrol people and the people who are ranchers and that are on the border, that don't tell them exactly what it is. And then I think there might be a slight embarrassment there because they'll see that the arguments are weak. They don't have any sound rationale behind them. And if you're looking at the way they're positioning themselves, they're very inadequate in terms of the law, too. The weak in terms of how we structure our laws to, the sanctuary cities and the DACA and things of that sort. There's nothing wrong with having people come across our borders. We don't have any qualms about that. Let's have them come through the ports of entry. And then once they come through the ports of entry, let them go through the process like everybody else does and become citizens and, be law-abiding. If we're looking at the crimes that are committed and things of that nature, it's going to be reduced to the effect where you know where people are, you know what they're doing, and you know that they're contributing to our society.
Well, they're assimilating. They're always saying that that the border towns are the safest. And all the information that you have forwarded in the document we've listed for today's show would show the exact opposite. And I'm going to go back to your statistic because, I'm sorry, why isn't anyone talking about this? But in 2018, so just last year, 17,000 adults were arrested at the border with existing criminal records. Those are only the people who were arrested.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows how many actually got in?
That is true. You know, Texas is having a very hard time with the amount of illegals that are coming into Texas. Texas and Arizona are the two big states that are having illegal problems. You look at the safe houses, all the other stuff that's set up with these transnational gangs. You know, it's just atrocious of the entire network that is set up, and ICE and others do some, but they don't interdict as much as they should. And so this is a crisis. It's been going on for a long time. We have to control our border. Now, the other thing that Bruce said is, you know, letting people come through the ports of entry, then they can register. Well, the problem is, according to our UN commitments and around the world, people are supposed to register either in their home country or in the first country they get to. And so that would be Mexico. Mexico has offered these caravans of people asylum, work permits, to register. They don't want that. They just want to come to the U.S. border, come across illegally, and go get with their families and others, people that they know, part of that 24-plus million illegal population in our country. And so the system is not working. And so we have to do something outside of the normal box in order to get something accomplished. You cannot have people register in the U.S. and then release them to the U.S. If they register, then they have to return to Mexico or wherever they came from.
Yeah, there's got to be, we've got to get something in place. If they are collected at the border, however you want to say it, they're given a piece of paper and released into our communities. The way it is now, we have no control over whether they come back or not unless we find them. I imagine there's a very small percentage of them that absolutely do come back and say, you know, and press their case for amnesty or whatever. But the majority of them just disappear into our communities. And that's where all this added cost comes in with the criminality. One of the things in the report here lists the eight most dangerous border towns, and I'll bet you a majority of the people listening live near one of these towns and are affected by this issue. It's nuts.
Yes, it is. I mean, I've been on the border many, many times. I've been shot at by the cartels and others that are smuggling drugs along the Arizona border. And so I know what's there. Our southern border is probably one of the most dangerous borders in the world. And so, you know, to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer saying it's a manufactured crisis?
No.
Yeah.
It's manufactured because we made it. And we're not doing anything to stop it.
If you pour gas on a fire, it's bigger.
It's going for, well, I would say a generation or so now.
Mm-hmm.
People are tired of hearing the same thing over and over, but that's the problem. They get numbed by hearing the same things, and then nobody really does anything about it.
Yeah, and the sad part
and
is...
Trump is stepping up. I'm going to talk over you for a second. Stepping up and saying, we're getting it done.
Don't worry about it.
And the only people who are resisting them are Congress.
Right.
And it's been the same thing.
Yeah, right. Which makes no sense.
And I think that's what's creating these caravans, is they know that if they can just set foot and drag some kid along with them, whether it's theirs or not, chances are they're going to get to stay. And
well,
and
also they're dragging kids on because they want to smuggle them in and use them in the sex trafficking.
Exactly.
Right, but it also gives them a free ticket in.
Yeah, and they get money for everyone they bring in.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
just to kind of spoiler alert the second hour, in case people think we're just going to, you know, hit the same thing over and over again. The next spot that we're going to go after the news break is the president's speech from yesterday. And he included concessions on DACA and TSP and courts and agents and detention centers and all that. And, you know, you had a lot of conservative people that were mad that he was offering so much and only getting $5.7 billion when really the price tag's more like $20. So you guys are going to address that, and I know that you've had lots of discussion about that. So we're going to go there. And this also keeps us on track. Chuck sent me a list, so you know I'm kind of good with a list.
We got to talk about the terrorists also, and I want to address that too. So
yeah, let's talk about who we've caught.
Terrorists. What can average citizens do? A little bit with where we think the White House is going to go in the future. So we still have like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. So go ahead, hit the terrorist thing.
Oh, that's going to take about 10 minutes.
So that's okay.
We can talk about...
We can either that or we can, talk about nothing for 2 minutes.
I think he's been forthcoming. He sits down, and then what we look at is the opposition to his proposal is just shut down. He has nowhere to go. And now I think they're going to be addressing it this coming Wednesday, and we'll see what they have to do. And then one of the things we were talking about, should he... evoke an emergency crisis. It has been an emergency crisis, but we'd rather have it done through funding. You see what I mean?
Right.
And if they can't do it, then it's really sad that Congress can't work on behalf of the president who's doing the right thing.
Well, it's kind of mind-blowing. I mean, the Democrats had time to go to Puerto Rico and hang out and take pictures of each other, and then they jumped on a bus for their secret trip to Afghanistan via Brussels, where I guess they had to stop and give the pilot a nap or something. But
but
bottom line is, with all of this stuff hanging, I mean, we have just to kind of give you bring it down to the little guy. The government shutdown, a lot of people say, well, nobody notices, it doesn't do anything. But here, like in this district, in the far northern part of California, it's really cold. And you have people who have wood heat. That's their sole source of heat is wood heat. They can't get a wood permit from the Forest Service because there aren't enough employees to do the wood permits. So I know that there's an effort being made by the local forest supervisors to figure out how to get around that. But that's something simple. Here people need to heat their houses for the winter. They don't need a federal employee to do it for them. They just need them to sell the wood permit and be able to go forward. Now, there's a kind of a thought in the background that if there's nobody to sell the permit, there might not be anybody to enforce it. But
there's tons of small businesses that are shut down.
But you
as
didn't
a result
hear that here.
This,
and that then there's that
aren't federal agencies. Yeah. So,
all righty, yeah. we'll be right back with Chuck Floyd, Bruce Moran, Security Solutions Technologies. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.